Brandon, are you there? Welcome, everyone. Bear Facts and Fishtails. Mark and Larry here on a beautiful Sunday night. And, wow, with everything that's going on, Larry, are you out there, buddy? I'm not sure if I can hear you or not.
You are not in the studios.
I am not. I'm at home doing what the big guy says to do.
It sounded like you're in a big tunnel.
Really?
That's good. Yeah, that's got to be your home, you know, the logs.
You know, it could be. Yeah. It could be. You know, up north here.
I'm not having any trouble hearing you, so it's all good.
That's good. That's
so
good.
You took it to 6 foot to say you don't want to get anywhere near Brandon? Is that it?
Brandon's okay. It's the rest of the social deviants that I worry about.
Well, he's behind glass anyway.
Still better safe than
sorry. No, everybody's doing their deal. We got so much stuff going on. You know, as we said last week, before we knew how goofy this was going to be, we had booked a long time out to put a great show together for you. And we've got one, and we're going to start out the night, Larry, you know, with our friend Randy Hart from FVP, representing FMP for Marine Battery Products and everything else that they do. And Randy's going to be on here in a couple minutes, and we're going to go through talking about batteries and getting ready, because we were all going to be getting ready for the Northwest Sport Show that's not happening.
Yeah, it's really sad. You know, I don't know. You know, I just hope they don't go nuts and tell me I can't go fishing, because it's pretty safe out on the lake.
Well, I don't know a better place to find fresh air, you know.
Yeah.
You've been really good over the years, Larry. I've witnessed it so many times, keeping people 6 feet away from your boat. Without the use of a measuring device.
It's called a real gruff voice. And a not-so-handsome face.
Well, it just all works together, whether you got a good bite or not, pal.
Well, anyway, so, we'll get through this.
Absolutely.
And this is, of course, the battery deal is a good deal because, you know, we are rigging boats. We are going in our garages and keeping the neighbor kids out. And working on our stuff.
Yep.
We're doing all that stuff.
Well, nothing's stopping us from getting ready to go and do the thing that we love to do most, which is one of our greatest outlets of all, and that's whatever you choose to do in the outdoors. Doesn't matter if you look at sparrows, look at butterflies, go fish, go hunt, mushrooms, just nature hiking. The outdoors is the elixir for all. And for years, you know, how this whole thing started with FVP, where last year I put a new set of batteries in my boat, and this year I just put a new set of batteries in the boat from the folks at FVP. And, you know, there's so many different batteries with lead alkyd and AGM batteries. And it's with pleasure we bring on Randy Hart. And Randy's going to help us walk through the decision-making process of what works best for you as a boater, because I think there's a distinct parallel, as you would probably agree, Lair, between the horsepower you put on a boat for a motor and what you put onto your boat to power your trolling motor.
Well, I got the first thing I'm going to find out when I get a chance. People with four or five pieces of electronics on their boats.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you start talking about where we used to have maybe a 2-amp draw, a total.
Yep.
You cut your live well. Yeah, that's almost non-existent. You know, every time you turn on your big motor and run a few minutes, you know, you're going to take care of them. But you get all these big screens on. So we'll talk about maybe a type of battery that a guy out of lithium that a guy could just use for a couple of your electronics. A small enough battery that you could put it in a compartment. You know, it wouldn't have to be tied into the rest of your things, and you know, and you'd have to charge that, of course. But that kind of thing, that's been my deal, because I've been studying up on that stuff.
Well, that's good, you know, and I can attest last year I put four Group 31, the big ones, the AGM batteries in, and I used Group 31 to start my engine and run all of my accessories.
Yeah.
And I can honestly say I had no problems at all running two Solex and two Helix units, four units, and fished the whole season, and it was impressive. So
now those were deep cycle batteries, right?
Oh yeah,
all four,
yeah.
Including the one to start your outboard, and that's something else a lot of people don't realize, that
yep.
you can start your outboard with a deep cycle battery. I've done it in the past, you know. But
no,
anyway.
You're right. So let's bring Randy on. Randy, how you doing tonight, buddy? Thanks for coming on the show with us.
Good to hear you. And Larry, I've been studying up too. So, we'll have lots of a lithium discourse tonight.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's just amazing how far batteries have come. I know some of the price tags are, you know, a little bit gruesome. I think we talked about that last year a little bit.
I wish I could report that, you know, lithium batteries have come down to the price of AGM or flooded lead acid, and
yeah.
that just isn't the case. They're still expensive, but they are coming down in price.
Cool. Exactly.
Should we start where we all started with lead batteries and where we are today with them, and then just kind of move along the family tree with where we are with technology today, Randy?
Sure. In fact, flooded lead acid batteries is the obvious place to start for the pleasure fishing boat market, because
yep.
still 90% of us, that's the batteries in our boat are flooded lead acid batteries, 90%
okay.
of us. And I'll replace a set of those in my boat this year, and I will go from flooded lead acid to AGM, which is a flooded lead acid type of technology.
Okay.
But still a similar technology. And for the flooded lead acid market, you know, there's all sorts of good options. You've got the real high-end batteries, what they call the pure lead batteries, and you may pay $350, $400 for a good deep cycle, pure lead trolling, deep cycle trolling motor, large group size, 31 or 29,
mm-hmm.
all the way down to, I was in the local Menard store just this week with my mask on and my elbow over my face.
I saw
that they have our FEP marine product on their end caps already. And, you know, on their perpetual 11% off sale, you'd be looking
nice.
At roughly $79 to $80 for a deep cycle battery. That's why they're still most common or most popularly used.
Sure.
Most people don't need more capability than that, and a lot of people don't want to pay for more capability than that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now AGM, that's what you moved to a couple
yep,
seasons ago
is.
Now.
Yep.
And the primary benefit, again, it is a flooded lead acid technology. It's absorbed a glass mat. It's the material in between the plates that holds the electrolyte, and they're sealed. You can mount them at different angles. A normal flooded lead acid battery should be mounted straight up and down always, never at an angle or certainly upside down or on its side or anything. Your AGM batteries can be mounted on their side if you need to do that to fit them in a certain type of battery storage
sure.
compartment.
Yeah. Nice.
And the biggest benefit for somebody like you that fishes hard from a large boat with a lot of electronic draw is you can charge an AGM battery at almost twice the rate you can charge a flooded lead acid battery.
Huh,
so a flooded lead acid battery, typical deep cycle, let's say 100 amp hour deep cycle lead acid battery, you really shouldn't charge it much above 10 to 12 amps per hour.
Mm-hmm.
Your AGMs, you can double that. You can get up into that 20 amp range. And, you know, if you're at a resort or you're at a tournament or
you're
at a hotel or something, charge time can be at a premium. Just, you know, getting someplace to hook them up. And it's, you know, you can charge those batteries in 5 hours instead of 10 hours.
Right. Are those ATM batteries going to last you maybe a year longer? And what's the difference in price?
I would say yes and no, and let me clarify that. So first of all, you did say something about using batteries to start your motor.
Yep.
Larry, you can use any battery to start your motor. Most motors.
I know I've done that in the past.
It's not good for them. If you have a flooded lead acid deep cycle battery, they're not really designed to give up that huge amount of amps, especially if you have if you've got one of those supercharged mercury Verado motors. They require a lot of current. And if you do it a lot, it'll work, and it'll certainly always work in an emergency. In an emergency, don't be afraid to, take one of your deep cycle batteries out and jumpstart whatever outboard you have in an emergency. But if you do it regularly, you're going to shorten the length of the life of that battery. AGMs, by the way they hold electrolyte, by the way they're constructed, AGMs really aren't deep cycle or starting like normal flooded lead acid batteries. It's the same thing.
Okay.
So starting your outboard with an AGM, we can call it a deep cycle. Most of them we call dual purpose batteries for that reason. You can start your outboard with an AGM battery, and it is not hurting it like it may hurt a conventional flooded lead acid deep cycle battery.
Cool.
All right. Now I got to jump in here now.
Yep.
Then if I was going to replace my starting battery with a deeper cycle battery, or the same thing would be the ATM, then, and that would be my answer.
I think that would be the best option, of course, unless you decided to go the lithium option.
Oh, all right. So now we're going to, we'll get to that.
Now we're moving. We're moving along. Way to go, Randy. All right.
Yeah.
We're ready. Lithium.
Okay. So at the 2019 Bassmasters Classic.
Yep.
Okay. The last one we fished, 32 of 50 of the boats fishing that event used lithium batteries.
Okay.
Now, I heard a story. I'll repeat it here. It was print. I can cite my source in print.
Sure.
I don't know if I believe it, because I know you guys replace batteries pretty much, the tournament fishermen replace batteries every year. But the story I heard was the winner of that event has used the same set of lithium batteries. It was his seventh year on them. So when we talked about lithium batteries last year, we talked about tremendous duty cycles, multiple year duty cycles. And I guess this just kind of, that story kind of holds up to what I talked about, having these things last for 10,000 or 15,000 duty cycles, which is my lifetime.
That's amazing, though.
And another thing is we started to talk about lithium batteries last year, and I think we kind of cut it short because at that time I had heard a lot of the negative stories about lithium batteries. Yeah. And in the 6 months since we talked last, I've learned a lot about the positive side of the lithium batteries. And I will say one thing. The negative side of lithium batteries were almost all lithium cobalt oxide batteries. And the negative side was they'd enter a condition called thermal runaway, and the batteries would literally rapidly disassemble themselves.
Ooh.
Now the batteries that most of the BASS guys or the FLW guys, the Major League Fishing guys now are using, it's a different technology. It's lithium iron phosphate. So I would say this, if lithium iron phosphate, by the way, there is one technology. I'm going to give you the chemical formula here. Capital L, small I, capital F, capital E, capital P, capital O, 4. And that would be lithium ferrophosphate.
Wow.
Or lithium iron. Fe is chemical symbol for iron.
Right.
Or lithium iron phosphate. And so if it says ferro in it or if it says iron in it, that's the safer technology. And I would say, by what I've read and the studying I've done in the last 6 months, I would have no qualms at all about putting those batteries in my boat.
Cool.
None whatsoever from a safety perspective. They're still expensive.
Sure.
But from a safety perspective, I would have no qualms at all about putting them in my own boat.
Okay.
I want to interject here for folks that, you know, haven't had a lot of experience. If you can help it, if you're going to buy a regular lead-acid battery and you have a smaller boat, you don't want to mount it up in the front because of the fact that it does have lead-acid. But with a lithium battery, you could, well, even that LT or ATM, you could put that up in the front.
A-N-G as in glass.
Golf.
A-G-M.
In the military, they say golf. Okay, golf.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, A-G.
Yeah.
I had it written down, ATM. Well, that's because you guys can't speak English.
You got money on your mind right now, Larry.
No, you guys can't pronounce. Your English is bad, Nick. Okay, so anyway, the advantages to lithium or the technology AGM is pretty obvious for most people that understand the batteries. I'm just kind of wondering.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if they make a small, smaller 12-volt batteries that would have marine posts.
The answer is yes. Now, the smallest marine, or I'll call a true marine battery, usually is a dual post design, Larry. So it'll have screw terminals and it'll have the posts. And the smallest that I'm familiar with are the group size 24. And you could use that, but I would question the complexity of how you would wire that in and keep it charged. Question the utility of it against the complexity of implementing it into your onboard system.
We have them on winter systems. What size batteries are on winter systems? You know what I'm talking about? They're about 4x6x4.
When you say winter systems, are you talking about ice fishing stuff now?
Yeah, or even if I had a small boat and I wanted to put a 12-volt just in for my electronics. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. So you're talking most of those are sealed lead acid AGM type batteries.
Okay.
And they're going to be anywhere from 8 to 20 amp hour batteries. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yep.
So a
4 by 3 inches by 6 inches, roughly?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 20 amper might be a little bit bigger than that. I was just wondering if they have, I've never seen them anyplace. That's why I'm asking.
I think and I've never seen them put into a boat. We have those.
they make them. Yeah.
Talk to me. I can help you out with those. But you're going to end up in a charging problem. You're not going to be able to wire that into your onboard battery charger.
It don't have to do that. It would be a separate deal, just like you would just charge that battery. I'm talking for guys with 12, 14-foot boats, They don't need to hook it up like we got it with our bass boats. They charge all. Not just comes with a charger.
If you're going to charge it with a charger that you connect up every time, not an onboard wired-in charger.
Right. When you get in, you plug it. We used to do that 10 years ago even, or I don't know how long we've had these,
If I was taking a small boat out to a city lake to fish for muskies...
Yeah. Yep.
And using a 12-volt trolling motor.
Yeah.
I didn't say any lake. I would go buy one of those 50-amp lithium-ion batteries. And the reason I'd buy it is it's not that much smaller than group size 24 battery, but it's 1/3 the weight.
Oh,
so
wow.
It isn't so much that I don't have space for it. It's just that I don't want to carry around a 50-pound battery.
That
50-amp battery, I believe, is 13 pounds. And that'd run your 12-volt trolling motor. I'll give Boy. Well, I hate to shed any science into this show, guys.
No,
that's okay. We run by the cuff, you know.
Well, let me give you just a little science. And I'm just going to say, so I'm going to say something, and then I'm going to give you kind of a practical explanation. All batteries are subject to something called Peukert's Law. Peukert's Law. You can look it up if you want to know what it really is.
Well, spell
but
it,
what it is it tells you how a battery gives up current. And a lithium-ion battery will give up current to that trolling motor. It will give up almost twice as much as its rated capacity. So a 50-amp lithium-ion battery driving that 12-volt trolling motor will drive it like you had a 100-amp flooded lead-acid battery.
That's huge.
That's why I say you only need a 50-amper, because you're getting the same motive force as that, as because of the way the trolling motor draws current from the battery.
All right.
Okay, all right. So I'm going to interject something here. Now, of course, a lot of guys have kayaks, and they don't have trolling motors on them. So there are a whole line of lithium batteries that have the correct amount, the correct terminals on it, even as small as, you know. So that's wonderful. I don't know where a guy could go buy them. You know, I go in the auto, you know, but anyway, you guys that live in Minneapolis have a better advantage than I do.
Yeah, I think that's going to be, Larry, I think for the time being, even in Minneapolis here, certainly any boat dealer can get them for you, but I think otherwise it's an online operation.
Purchase, okay.
I'm going to go online and try to find some,
This has all been absolutely informative. I'm curious, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners, as Larry would bring up too, is that when you rate these batteries, and maybe we need to take a break and then come back if you can stay with us, Randy, a little bit.
And, of course.
And we'll go through, you know, just rough numbers. If you're to start with the deep cycle starting battery and you go lead acid, you go AGMs, and you go lithiums, that we can start talking how to budget for this stuff looking down the line, okay? If that works. So you're listening to Bear Facts and Fish Tales, Mark and Larry, on a beautiful Sunday night. We're glad all you folks are listening to us, whether you're driving home from the lake, which you should be, or you're cooped up at home. Either way, call us at 763-450-0100. We have Randy Hart from FBP Marine Batteries with us tonight, and we're talking marine batteries, folks. Stand by. We'll be right back.
Bring the outdoors home with you. Mark and Larry have more Bear Facts and Fish Tales for you. No fillet house needed on Bob Outdoors.
You don't have to go all the way to Ireland to enjoy an authentic Irish atmosphere. Drake O'Neill's Irish American Pub has all the charm of the Emerald Isle right here in Minnesota. Just west of Highway 101 in Otsego, Drake's is open 7 days a week. They have 42 Irish whiskeys and all your favorite Irish beers, including Drake's Irish Red. And the highest quality, handcrafted, made-to-order pub foods like shepherd's pie, fish and chips, patty melts, and pub fries. And you gotta try their bangers and mash. Best of all, there are no strangers here, only friends you haven't met yet. Drake O'Neill's Irish American Pub, a place for good taste.
And now for Vexlar, here's Larry Bolig.
They've been in business for over 60 years, and, well, I've been in business for a little bit longer than that, but I've been involved with Vexlar for many, many years. In fact, I still have my first FL8, which is the first ever three-color flasher that I've ever had, and as a matter of fact, it actually still works. But the last couple of years, I've been using the top of their line. Now, Vexlar has a lot of different flasher units, packages for ice fishing, and a lot of different products. The best one that they make would be the FLX28, and that's a five-color flasher that has an automatic depth range with a digital readout, and that's really nice. Also has brushless technology, so it won't wear out, and five colors that I can select. Now, that's very important because a lot of men are a little bit colorblind to the color red, so I choose white as my primary color, and it seems to be I can see it better in the sun and or in the shade. Now, if you go online at vexlar.com, you can see all the products they have to offer. They're not always in all the retail stores, okay? There's accessories in there. As an example, there's a little unit called a DD100 that you can attach to your older model Vexlar, and it'll have its own digital readout as well. iPhones, underwater camera phones, transducers, extra batteries, K-drills, and a video called Ice Fishing Today. They're a local company. You can give them a call at 952-884-5291 or go online, vexlar.com. And remember, they sell reconditioned units as well. Do not leave home without your Vexlar.
NMLS number 638054. Looking for financing for hunting land, a boat, or cabin on the lake? Then you need to head to the State Bank of Faribault. Maybe you're thinking about a fish house, a new ATV, side-by-side, or even a dock system. Come down to the State Bank of Faribault and see Matt or John and do business with outdoorsmen just like you. At the State Bank of Faribault, camouflage isn't just a color, it's a lifestyle. Located in Faribault on Prior Lake, the State Bank of Faribault, creating customers for life, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Tom Goodrich with Fishing for Life, and spring is in the air, so it's time to get ready. If you're looking to unload some of your old gear, that's rods, reels, tackle boxes, sportsman's gear, or even boats, Fishing for Life is the place to go. Why? We have over 500 volunteers rebuilding this stuff in the spring, getting it back to kids. Maybe you want to help in that department. Donate today or volunteer at fishingforlife.org. That's fishingforlife.org.
Let's get back to the important stuff, bear facts and fish tales. Join the conversation by calling 763-450-0100 right now.
All righty, we're back. Bear facts and fish tales. Mark and Larry, glad you're with us this evening. And we have a great show in front of us. We've already covered a little bit of business, and we have Randy Hart from FVP. And we're talking about marine batteries, and we're getting ground zero right on up to lithium. So, Randy, thanks again for taking time off of your schedule and sharing some time with us tonight, buddy. We appreciate it again.
My pleasure.
So let's go. You know, we've covered some applications and technologies and the goods and the bads and the and everything from being able to, you know, go with the old school lead acid type to the AGMs, the which absorb glass mat batteries, which means, you know, you're able to put them on their side, lay them on their side. There's a lot of different configurations up to the new technology, which is where, you know, everything in lawn and garden, it seems, yard work equipment and whatever, lithiums are there, and it's certainly with ice augers. So there's a whole new horizon and frontier out there for us in the outdoor world with lithium. Now,
hey, where, Mark, on that note, Newsy had just a quick question, so I'm just going to bump him in real quick here. Tom, you're on, and it's apropos.
Hi, guys. You know, it's interesting listening, and I just wanted to add something on the winter side. I use lithium batteries all winter in my Helix 7s, and other units, you know, guys were using them too. And I just wanted to tell the listeners that there was 2 days that I never had to charge that up, and I only lost 5% of my power. That was, I mean, like,
really
incredible, unbelievable. I can tell you right now, I'm canning all my lead batteries, and I'm going to go all lithium with all my winter stuff. So, you know, when you lose 5% in 2 days, 8 to 10 hours a day, that's saying a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah, it's saving. That's huge, Tom.
Yeah. So, you know what? You guys go ahead, and this is great listening stuff. And, Mark, I can we'll talk about our stuff next week or something like that, but this is really good stuff to listen to.
All right, and, all right. Hang really in or join us later on, too, Tommy, if you're up and running yet.
Okay.
All right, bud. Yeah, so Randy, dollars and cents, you know, not specific per brand or anything like that, but just like an overall thumbnail sketch of the cost of a start battery with a flooded lead acid to an AGM to a lithium. What's the average guy looking for?
Let me give you kind of a percentage answer to that rather than a dollars and cents.
Sure.
So a good flooded lead acid battery, not one of the real super exotic pure lead or something like that, but you know, the one that the average guy would buy, that's going to be the least expensive. And an AGM battery is going to be of comparable size, is going to be 50 to about 75% more expensive. And again, going back to the baseline of the flooded lead acid battery, a lithium battery is going to be somewhere on the order of 5 to 8 times more expensive, if that makes more sense. So I would say if I talk about a starting battery for a 100 horsepower outboard motor, you know, that you could buy a good starting battery, flooded lead acid, or depending on where you're buying it, you know, at Menards, $80, $90.
Yep.
An AGM for $130, $140, and probably close to $500 for a lithium battery.
Yep. Okay. And now, the life cycle, and just little anecdotal things, as Tom Newstrom just said, is huge. As you have to really quantify how much time you're going to spend with these batteries, just like you do the kind of rods and reels you buy, the electronics you buy in the boat, right?
It what Tom said, I agree with him 100%. I also run a 7-inch, the same 7-inch fish finder GPS that he does, and I have an AquaView camera on an articulated arm right above it, which I'm using, and then I have a glow cup, which I'm running all the time, and then I have my cell phone on another arm. So if I wanted to videotape, I've got that all right there to videotape, and it all runs off one 9-amp AGM battery, and I'm good for 4 to 6 hours, and then I bring another battery with. If I had a 10-amp hour lithium ion battery, I'd probably get through that whole 8-hour fishing day with no problem.
Hey boys, I got a question from the phones about a Hummingbird. There's a low voltage alarm that you can set, and he's just wondering what you should set it at. It's like 12.
They're usually built right in to go off when your voltage gets low. Most depth finders I know of, including Hummingbirds, will just shut themselves off when they hit that.
Right.
And
yeah, they have an override.
Yeah, and a lot of GPSs, if you have the combination, they have. You can program your screen to have the voltage readout right on your screen.
I can add something to this too. So on most of the newer Hummingbird units, they actually have you can look at a percentage of battery remaining, and it'll count down from 100% to when your unit shuts itself off. Or you can also set that to battery voltage. And I know for a fact that the Hummingbird set theirs at 10.5. At 10.5, the unit turns off. Now, let me share this with you. If you're consistently running a battery down to 10.5, which would be considered to be the full discharge of a 12-volt battery, you're going to kill that battery real fast. You should never run an AGM down much more than about a state of depth of discharge, we call it, of 40 or 50%. So if you're running it all the way down to 10.5 volts, you're killing that battery. The cycle life, if an average AGM maybe have a cycle life of 600 cycles, and you consistently run it until that Hummingbird unit turns off, in other words, you killed the battery, 10.5 volts, you're going to get less than half that number of cycles out of the battery.
Wow.
So that would be a reason to set your alarm at a higher voltage or a higher percentage, just so you're not killing that battery. I just throw that in.
Great point.
I just want to point out what
our lithium's a little more forgiving.
Lithiums are much more forgiving. First of all, a lithium battery has the highest depth of discharge, a recommended depth of discharge of any of the battery technologies that we have now. You can safely take a lithium battery regularly down to 80% depth of discharge. So if you have 100, think of it as if you've got a gallon of water. Think of that's the energy in your battery. You can pour 3 quarts out of that. You get down to 75% of it left, and then recharge it, and you haven't affected cycle life at all. If you did the same thing with the flooded lead acid battery, you'd probably reduce the cycle life of that battery again by 50% or more. So lithiums are very good in that respect. Some people think you can take them down to nothing consistently. That just isn't true. but you can take them down far to a far greater depth of discharge than you could an AGM, a gel, or a flooded lead acid battery.
So no matter what battery you buy, folks, you want to buy the biggest one you can fit in the space.
Yeah, you go.
You'll never have you guys ever said to yourself, boy, I have too much battery capacity in my boat?
Never. Never.
It's no, never. You never say
battery
that.
Battery capacity.
Right. And then let me add this thing. Take care of your batteries. I'm very fond of saying batteries don't die. Batteries are killed. Charge your batteries, and it is worth your. It is definitely worth your hard-earned money to invest a little bit of it in a good multi-step battery charger.
Onboard charger.
I know what I used in the past, and I'm guilty. I'm raising my hand. I'm guilty of killing many batteries. I go out to the garage, and I could hear them boiling in the boat as I walked up to the boat to disconnect the battery charger.
Just cooking.
And that's not good for them. No, they're, and there are all sorts of good brands that make good multi-step chargers that are pretty much, you know, set them and forget them.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think you can buy a charger. Well, maybe you can. That doesn't have an automatic shut-off, but maybe you can. Would you be smarter, as an example, I got a battery on a charger in the garage right now that I turned it on yesterday, but I put it on 2-amp, and it's a smaller 12-volt battery for my garden tractor, or for my four-wheeler, and I forgot I turned it on yesterday at 2-amp. Now, that shouldn't be a problem, should it?
It's well, I'll tell you what, I have a four-wheeler.
in a shed
behind my house, and I went out to ice fishing, and I hit the start button, and of course it didn't start because I hadn't kept the battery up.
Yeah,
so I hooked my 1.25 amp battery charger up to it.
Yeah,
and it's a manual charger; it just keeps charging at 1.25 amps until you disconnect it.
Right,
and so, I forgot it for 2 days.
Right.
And that was the end of that battery.
Fine. Yeah, it won't. In other words, it won't boil it, huh?
Yeah.
What did you say? You got rid of the battery?
No, I cooked the battery.
You cooked the battery?
Two days. It's a manual charger. It doesn't.
No, I have it.
It was going to keep putting that off.
I have an automatic shutoff on mine, so I'm not just pulling your leg. But I thought maybe a 1 or 2 amp charger would never boil out a battery.
I don't want to say it was boiled out. This is an AGM battery, and it would not take a charge. And I don't know, I didn't cut it apart. I didn't do that kind of analysis or anything.
Yeah.
But I got a feeling that, like I said, I'm raising my hand again. I think I killed that battery. I don't think the battery didn't die. I killed it.
Well, after the show, go check it out and then call me and let me know.
Oh, no, it has a brand new battery in it. Now it works just fine.
Randy, question for you about lithium batteries. Because of the fact that lead acid have been around for a while, AGMs have been around a little bit. With lithium technology, we're still in that developmental stage. We haven't really peaked in that technology as yet, have we?
Well, flooded lead acid batteries, that technology is over 100 years old. And if you look at what a flooded lead acid battery was literally 100 years ago, we had electric cars almost. Sure. Well, actually, we did have electric cars 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Look it up.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is the battery in that car compared to the flooded lead acid battery today, did they get better? Yes. Are they remarkably better? Are they 10 times or 100 times as good? No. So it didn't progress that far from where we started to where we are today, and the technology is pretty much as good as it's going to get because these other technologies, most notably lithium, show so much more promise that they're not putting the development into a technology that's 100 years old now.
Right.
Bottom line is, and I don't want to dissuade anybody from using flooded lead acid batteries, worrying about putting flooded lead acid batteries in their boat. I have them in my boat right now. They work just fine for most people. They don't need more than that. For a lot of people, there is no reason to put anything other than a flooded lead acid battery in their boat. For the people looking for that maximum performance, or that are running 4 15-inch graphs and a bilge pump and a live well pump and gosh knows what else, they may and that are traveling a lot in fishing tournaments or events, and subject to having a hard time getting power and things. Mm-hmm. Then lithium batteries start to make a lot more sense.
Yeah, they do.
Weight is a consideration, not as much. I mean, when I started bass fishing, I started fishing out of a 16-foot boat. It seems like you have to have at least a 20-foot boat now, don't you?
And a
250 horsepower motor, and you need more. You need more battery power. To push that big boat around.
Well, this is fascinating. Well, again, you educated us dramatically, Randy. Again, there's some interesting stuff here that I hope a lot of our listeners picked up on and will pick up on. And if you have any questions for Randy, please give us a call at 763-450-0100, and we'll see what he's got to say. Larry, what do you got, buddy?
Well, I think I'm going to go out in my garage now, and I think maybe my battery might be burnt out.
I will add one thing, Mark and Larry.
Yeah.
When we talked last time, it was kind of right before we stored batteries, so we kind of talked about some storage tips.
Yes.
And I want to share just a couple quick tips. It's kind of coming out of storage time for us right now.
Mm.
And one of the things I would share is that we're a large battery seller. And, of course, anybody that's a large battery seller gets batteries returned because they don't work.
Right.
Most of the batteries we get that get returned are fine. And the reason that happened, that's with everybody. That's not us. That's everybody.
Sure.
And the
sure.
reason is because people aren't taking care of the batteries. And most importantly, in the spring, they're not taking care of the battery connections. So take your battery connection off the battery. Take the wires off the battery. Okay. They make a little wire brush tool that goes inside if you have conventional post connectors.
Yep.
Just give it a couple of twists so it's nice and bright and shiny. Put it back on. If you have the screw terminals, just take a regular wire brush, in them with that, put them back on. And then whether you choose to use some Vaseline, some silicone, some battery spray, they make a dedicated spray for it. But spray them and protect them after you clean them. And then also, batteries self-discharge because they get corrosion built up on the top of the battery. So if you ever see any of that white stuff around the terminals on the battery, your battery is off-gassing, and that can lead to a self-discharge connection. Clean that off. And it's real simple to clean up. you go to the cupboard in the kitchen. Don't let your wife see you do this. And you grab some baking soda, and you just put a little baking soda in a little bowl with a little water. You mix it to about the consistency of toothpaste, and just brush that all over the top of your battery. And then I've seen people rinse it off with a garden hose. Yeah, I'm a little reluctant to do that myself. I wipe it off with a damp rag. I'm worried about electrical shorts. But I wipe it off with a damp rag, and then you've completely cured that problem. Again, that helps you to not have to bring it back to the store to tell you that your battery's fine. It'll save you some transportation there.
Way to go, Randy.
Take just a couple minutes.
I got some red stuff that I bought.
And they'll work a lot better.
There's some red stuff out there that you put on your terminals that I've been using for 20 years.
That's the spray commercial spray. It works. It works really well.
It's kind of red. I don't remember if I sprayed it or squirted it on her.
Hey, boys, it's break time again. We're a little past
break time.
Yep. It's about that time.
All right. Well, Randy, do you want to just hold on for a couple minutes after this break and see if we snuff the caller or two, okay? All right. Okay, Bear Facts and Fishtails, Mark and Larry, a short pause, and we'll be right back with Randy Hart from FVP.
Best part of Bob Outdoors? no problem. Just click on the Weekend tab at mybobcountry.com to listen back to Bear Facts and Fishtails anytime.
You don't have to go all the way to Ireland to enjoy an authentic Irish atmosphere. Drake O'Neill's Irish American Pub has all the charm of the Emerald Isle right here in Minnesota. Just west of Highway 101 in Otsego, Drake's is open 7 days a week. They have 42 Irish whiskeys and all your favorite Irish beers, including Drake's Irish Red. And the highest quality, handcrafted, made-to-order pub foods like shepherd's pie, fish and chips, patty melts, and pub fries. And you gotta try their bangers and mash. Best of all, there are no strangers here, only friends you haven't met yet. Drake O'Neill's Irish American Pub, a place for good taste.
For Frankie's in Chisago City, here's Larry Bolig.
Frankie's in Chisago City, the number one Ranger dealer in the world. Unbelievable. That means he sells Ranger boats. They make bass boats, walleye boats, out of both fiberglass and aluminum. Of course, Ranger even makes pontoons. Another thing about Frankie's, he'll sell you any motor you need because a lot of people repower this time of year. So it doesn't matter what brand, I guarantee you, you don't get to be number one unless you're doing a lot right and mostly giving great prices. Now, he has a brand new showroom up there. Everything's on display. He's got an 8-stall service center. The two boys, Joe and Bud, those are his sons, have been rigging and fixing these very expensive boats for many, many years. If you're going to pay a lot of money for a boat, it better be rigged professionally, and that includes electronic batteries. Believe me, they do all my stuff, okay? You could give them a call at 651-257-6334 or drive on up to Frankie's. If you haven't thought,
NMLS number 638054. Looking for financing for hunting land, a boat, or cabin on the lake? Then you need to head to the State Bank of Faribault. Maybe you're thinking about a fish house, a new ATV, side-by-side, or even a dock system. Come down to the State Bank of Faribault and see Matt or John and do business with outdoorsmen just like you. At the State Bank of Faribault, camouflage isn't just a color, it's a lifestyle. Located in Faribault on Prior Lake, the State Bank of Faribault, creating customers for life, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
If you or someone you know has a great mechanical aptitude, understands trailers, can weld, and is looking for a great place to get a new job, Crystal Welding wants to talk to you. Crystal Welding is your go-to welding and fabrication shop for solutions, service, and results. And they're looking for a trailer mechanic to start immediately. Work for Crystal Welding because they're great people who get the job done right the first time. So if you or someone you know is looking for a new welding job, contact Crystal Welding at crystalwelding.com.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. No jobs are small because we do it all.
Now, more Bear Facts and Fishtails with Mark and Larry. Join in the show by calling 763-450-0100.
All right, we're back. We have Mr. Randy Hart from FVP with us, and we're talking about this first hour. We've been talking a lot about batteries and just throwing out to our listeners, if you have any questions, give us a holler at 763-450-0100. All right. You still there, Randy?
I'm here, guys.
Okay, buddy. All right. Larry, anything to add, pal?
Well, no. It was very informative. I'm sure there's a lot of people in the market for batteries this time of year. I can't add anything as far as maintenance on your batteries, but that obviously, Randy, you brought it up, and is so very, very important. And I'm kind of anxious now that I can't run out and make sure I didn't burn up my battery, because at my age, I should have known better.
That's how we learn. That's how we learn. No, we make mistakes and we learn from them.
I put my batteries are out during the wintertime, and they're charged once a month. I turn on my charger. It's an automatic charger, of course. And most modern boats come with these things. But as far as we keep forgetting about the guys who kayak and that kind of stuff, and they need smaller batteries. And the lithium batteries that's the way to go in a boat where you don't want to knock a battery over or whatever. So I'm kind of excited about that technology myself. And I use red lithium batteries on my power drill for drilling my holes in the wintertime. So I know how good those type of batteries are. But I think a red lithium battery would not be necessary for marine products. Just plain lithium.
You're 100% right. Those on the kayak fishermen, a lot of them are fishing from powered kayaks now. They have a lithium-powered motor that they put in them.
Yep.
And they are almost 100% using the lithium battery. And the reason they use it is for especially the guys paddling them, for the light weight. They got one-third the weight of a lead-acid battery.
Yeah.
And when you're paddling, every pound counts.
And see, like in my problem, I was thinking about putting, I'm building a little compartment to mount my new unit on top of, I was thinking about putting a small lithium battery to power that. It's a junction box that I think takes a little more amperage than I may want it to take. So I was thinking about putting one of those batteries in there just for that particular unit, then simply charging it at night. You know, no big deal. So that's
you certainly could do that. I will offer this one thought on lithium batteries, and in particular in cold weather conditions. You should never, ever, ever charge a lithium battery below, I'm going to say 40 degrees Fahrenheit to be safe, but certainly never below 32. And I'll give you, for instance, my boat sits, my flooded lead acid boat sits outside, and I'm pretty confident charging those batteries anytime the temperature is much above 0 degrees. If it's 20 below, I won't plug the charger in. But if it's zero, I'll plug the charger in. If I had lithium batteries in that boat, my personal limit would be 40 degrees Fahrenheit. You do not want to charge a lithium battery when it's cold.
Hey, guys, I got a question on the phone lines regarding charging. It's Matt from Fridley. Matt, you're on with Mark, Larry, and Randy.
Hello, fellas.
Go ahead. Thanks for the call.
My question is I can't afford these super expensive batteries, but I've been running the lead acids. And I've been talking to a guy at an auto store, and I ran across an Optima battery, and he said my regular battery charger will not charge that. Wondering if there's any truth to that. And then also the other part of my question is, if I do have a fully automatic battery charger, will it charge all these kinds of batteries that are out there, or do I need a specific battery charger for different kinds of batteries?
That's several questions and several good questions. First of all, an Optima battery is one of the high technology flooded lead acid technologies. And I'm not going to say, I don't know what battery charger you do have, okay? But any conventional charger that'll charge a regular flood acid battery will charge your Optima lead acid battery. Now, you might have one that's too small to charge the size battery you're talking about or something like that. Sure. But an Optima does not require a dedicated charger. There are some battery chargers that say they'll charge everything. I know Minn Kota makes a battery charger. They say you can charge lithium with it, gel, AGM, and flooded lead acid batteries. But realistically, if you're running lithium batteries, and you want to get everything out of them that you can, including fast charging, you're going to need a dedicated lithium battery charger for them. If you're running a gel battery, and that's not that common in boats these days, but if you are running a gel battery, you definitely need a gel profile in your charger. Likewise, AGM. You need an AGM profile in your charger. And anything made, you know, in the last 10 years, or maybe even longer, pretty much has those profiles built in. And they're some units, they're user selectable. It actually tells you. So you could, in theory, you could be charging two AGM batteries and two flooded lead acid batteries off one built-in charger in your boat by selecting the right charging profile per that battery in the bank. But you don't want to charge a flooded lead acid battery, an AGM, and a lithium don't take current the same and are not capable of taking a charge rate at the same rate. So it's a really good question. If you got a flooded lead acid battery, get a charger that's meant to charge a flooded lead acid battery. If you've got a lithium one, get one that's meant to charge a lithium one. And most flooded lead acid chargers are are capable of charging AGMs. I don't want to say it's a universal that every AGM and every flooded lead acid charger work with the other type, but almost. That's pretty close.
Okay.
And I hope that helps you out a little bit.
Yeah.
But,
no, I appreciate your info. Thanks a lot. Have a good night. Great
all
show.
Right. Appreciate
you're
the
welcome.
Call.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Hey, and while we're on that subject, I did have a question come in through the text line about it. Apparently, Minn Kota trolling motors don't recommend lithium batteries, and he's just wondering what your thoughts were on that. He says that something about maybe too constant voltage. Does that make sense?
Okay. I happened to research that question with Minn Kota just 2 weeks ago.
Nice.
And I'll tell you what. It's not that they don't recommend lithium batteries per se. It's that a lithium battery is capable of giving up a larger amount of current for a much longer time. And I would agree with Minn Kota on this one. They're a little worried about the ability of the trolling motor to handle that kind of duty cycle. In other words, think about it. You have a 101-pound thrust trolling motor on the front of your boat, and let's say you go out on a windy day in Lake of the Woods, and you troll all day with that trolling motor at its top speed. Maybe I'd try something different if that was the case, but maybe somebody's going to do that.
Okay.
And I think you could end up having a thermal condition arise if you were putting that much into it. So I think, really, it's not that my opinion after talking with a representative was that they didn't necessarily say don't use lithium ion batteries, but to be cognizant of that lithium batteries are still new. If you look at these pro bass fishermen that are running Minn Kota trolling motors with lithium batteries,
absolutely,
and the other brands as well.
Yep,
that's why I was asking the question, you know, where are we in the development curve, and lithium hasn't peaked as yet. So I think with the peaking, prices will probably become a little more affordable, as everything does when there's a supply and demand. So, well, Randy, we appreciate you coming on to Bear Facts and Fishtails, talking with Larry and I tonight. You've been not only a buddy, but really shared some interesting information as far as helping anglers figure out how they're going to power up their trolling motors and electronics in their boats this summer.
My pleasure, guys. My pleasure to be here.
And to get information on FVP, what do you recommend? Where are some of the outlets to find your products, Randy?
You know, I'm of the opinion that you go to the source. So.
Yep.
If I'm looking at a marine battery, I guess I just listened to one of your sponsor commercials during our break there for Frankie's Marine. And Frankie's carries our batteries and other brands as well. And boy, those guys, they are fishermen. They do tournament fish. They rig lots of boats. They know batteries well. That's where I would go. I would go and I'd get their opinion. And you know what? If you go to the store there, their opinion's free.
Nice. Well done. Well, Randy, thanks again so much. We'll check in with you throughout the course of the summer and see where the heck you're hanging your hat, buddy.
Okay, good fishing. Stay healthy, guys.
Same to you, pal. Take care, Randy.
Thanks, Randy.
Okay. Bye now.
Good night.
There you go. That was good. I learned a lot.
I learned one thing. Make sure I go back out in my garage after the show's over.
Check that back.
That's for sure. All right, with that, we're going to run and take a short pause. You're listening to Bear Facts and Fishtails. Mark and Larry here, inviting your phone calls at 763-450-0100. That gets you right in. A short pause, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Bear Facts and Fishtails, part of Bob Outdoors. Mark and Larry are ready to take your calls at 763-450-0100. That's 763-450-0100. Movie madness is taking over Bob Country. You spent all winter watching them, now rank them. We're starting off with 32 movies facing off head-to-head in their genres and narrowing down the victors round by round until there's only one movie left, and that is the greatest. What is the greatest movie of all time? You decide. Vote today at MyBobCountry.com.
NMLS number 638054. Looking for financing for hunting land, a boat, or cabin on the lake? Then you need to head to the State Bank of Faribault. Maybe you're thinking about a fish house, a new ATV, side-by-side, or even a dock system. Come down to the State Bank of Faribault and see Matt or John and do business with outdoorsmen just like you. At the State Bank of Faribault, camouflage isn't just a color, it's a lifestyle. Located in Faribault on Prior Lake, the State Bank of Faribault. Creating customers for life. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
If you or someone you know has a great mechanical aptitude, understands trailers, can weld, and is looking for a great place to get a new job, Crystal Welding wants to talk to you. Crystal Welding is your go-to welding and fabrication shop for solutions, service, and results. And they're looking for a trailer mechanic to start immediately. Work for Crystal Welding because they're great people who get the job done right the first time. So if you or someone you know is looking for a new welding job, contact Crystal Welding at crystalwelding.com.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. No time to small because we do it all.
Hi, this is Tom Goodrich with Fishing for Life, and spring is in the air, so it's time to get ready. If you're looking to unload some of your old gear, that's rods, reels, tackle boxes, sportsman's gear, or even boats, Fishing for Life is the place to go. Why? We have over 500 volunteers rebuilding this stuff in the spring, getting it back to kids. Maybe you want to help in that department. Donate today or volunteer at fishingforlife.org. That's fishingforlife.org.
You don't have to go all the way to Ireland to enjoy an authentic Irish atmosphere. Drake O'Neill's Irish American Pub has all the charm of the Emerald Isle right here in Minnesota. Just west of Highway 101 in Otsego, Drake's is open 7 days a week. They have 42 Irish whiskeys and all your favorite Irish beers, including Drake's Irish Red. And the highest quality, handcrafted, made-to-order pub foods like shepherd's pie, fish and chips, patty melts, and pub fries. And you gotta try their bangers and mash. Best of all, there are no strangers here, only friends you haven't met yet. Drake O'Neill's Irish American Pub, a place for good taste.